Hello, Anna. I'm going to try to answer your question with God's help just as quickly as I can. But I want to really encourage you to seek the Lord for his confirmation and his wisdom about this. I cannot explain this to you and emphasize this enough, that your only safe place is to see that the Lord himself validates you and your gifts in all ways. For example, you cannot come to a human being and say, here's what's happening in my life and my heart. Do you think I'm saved? The Bible says that it is the Spirit of God who testifies to us that we've been saved. Okay? So God is the only one who can give a person a certificate of approval based on what I see in the Word of God, for gifts that he gives and for salvation. So I want to really encourage you to measure whatever your experience is against the Word of God. You may very well have received the gift of tongues. Sister, I do not have the gift. Paul says, do all speak in tongues? Do all prophesy? No. So I do not have the gift of tongues. What I am really concerned about from a man I know of who claims to have the gift of tongues, and I can tell you that everything I know about this man would indicate that indeed he truly has the gift of tongues, is that it is an actual another language. It's not just what we hear in the charismatic church today, you know, this repeating of syllables over and over again, but that it's an actual prayer language. It's another language. And so if we look in the book of Acts and you look at what happens at Pentecost, which is where tongues comes from, tongues of fire, the word is called glossolalia, I believe is how the Greek word is pronounced, which basically means language. And as you can see, when these men were speaking in these tongues, what's so incredible about this is they were speaking in languages that they themselves could not understand, but the other people could understand the language. And so these guys all said, wait a second, how is it that we hear you praising God in our own language? So amazingly, if you read the passage, it looks to be that God not only has everybody speak in different languages, but he's having all these people from different nations who speak different languages, hearing all of these people, not in a single language that they can interpret, but in multiple languages which they can interpret. This was incredible. It was the Holy Spirit using this gift of tongues, this language, to basically be able to minister the power and gospel to these other people that didn't have these languages they knew. It was happening in real time right there. I mean, that is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. What I think that you have to be really careful about, from what I've been told from people that have the gift that I believe are sincere, is 90%, this gentleman, Zach Poonen, says he believes this, he's traveled the world, 90% of all tongues are a counterfeit, that they're false, okay? So you're absolutely wise, sister, to measure this against God, to find out if indeed this is the Spirit of God. You mentioned it coming deep from within you, okay? That's potentially could be a sign that it's a gift of God. I don't know. I don't have it, okay? I have the gift of prophecy, the foretelling of God's heart and God's ways to speak boldly the Father's truth in a given matter or circumstance. So this is the gift of prophecy, which the Bible says is the greater gift, and that we should not stumble over the lesser gifts. And I'm not saying that your gift is not a good gift at all. Please do not hear me. I do not despise the gift. And if God's given it to you, praise be to the Father. But what the problem is that people put tremendous emphasis on that gift, which is the very least of the gifts. This is what Paul reprimanded so strongly the Corinthian church about. They wanted to speak so much in tongues, and they argued about it and created all this chaos. And he said, guys, you need to stop acting like little children. If you'll take note of this, that none of the other churches did he ever mention tongues. Tongues is not mentioned anywhere in the New Testament except for the church at Corinth. So that helps us to understand what small level of importance it is. It is a gift of God if it's authentic and it has a purpose. So we shall not despise it, okay? But in this day and age, with there being so much abuse and so much counterfeiting, I know so many people who speak in what they call tongues, and they have absolutely no power for holiness in their life. And so I can clearly look and see that what they've received is indeed a counterfeit. Now, it is possible that I believe you could have a gift of tongues and still be carnal, still not be fully mature. But I know Christians that have been doing this for years, and they're still powerless, and they still love the world and love money, and they're very carnal in their Christianity. Now, they feel like they have got the corner on the market. Another thing you mentioned is that you're husband said that he came in the room and he was afraid. Notice that Paul points out that the gift of tongues is actually for unbelievers. So if he is an unbeliever and it's possible that he heard you speak that, although he does say at one point, if an unbeliever comes in your church and hears you guys all prophesying in tongues, what he might not think you're crazy. I do see a principle or a precedent in scripture where it could very much be used to edify. It says that it's primarily to edify you, okay? But that's not to say that God could not use it to also encourage your husband in the faith. However, there are many churches where people have had gold teeth show up in their mouth. There have been jewels that have showed up on the floor. There has been stories of manna showing up in people's Bibles. And I believe those are all counterfeit. And people were very moved, and their testimonies were really moving to other people, and it brought the fear of God into other people. I believe all those things are the devil's counterfeits, that they're a part of this, what's called New Apostolic Revival, the Toronto Blessing. And there is some of the craziest things that happen. And I used to see this and go, wow, this is unbelievable. And you might imagine the people that saw this would have had the fear of God come in them when they saw that. Now there's gold teeth in the mouth of this relative they had. They might have gone, wow. See, I believe it's all absolutely counterfeit. And here's what happens is the counterfeit gifts leave you shallow in your faith. They leave you without holiness. They leave you without death to self. They leave you without submission to God's will. They may cause a reverent fear to come over you, but they will not cause you to submit and take up your cross and deny yourself. Here's a way you can know a counterfeit. A counterfeit gift will never produce internal holiness and internal righteousness. Okay? The counterfeits in the charismatic movement, sister, leave the person who has received the counterfeit feeling as if they have already reached fullness of Christ, that they have already received all of the approval they need. On the contrary, an authentic gift, oh, thank you, God. Abba, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. An authentic gift, an authentic miracle, an authentic blessing, many of which I have seen in my life, astonishing things, okay? None of them have left me feeling like I am there. And on the contrary, the more I see of Father's divine providence and power and supernatural abilities in my life, the more I see how much in me is still not like Him, and the more I come to Him, oh, Abba, please, Father, I found another snakehead. Let's get it out. Sister, that is how you can be guaranteed that the giftings that you receive are authentic and not counterfeit. Do they lead you to holiness? Not just a few days. I mean, sister, the charismatics have loaded up the churches. When the demons show up there and disguise themselves as angels of light, this is why it's so important. Jesus warned, be very careful. No one deceives you. Because you can be led to believe through these unbelievable, unexplainable, supernatural things that this is from God. If I'm having this experience, this means God and He approves me and I'm done. And that you can actually believe that. And it can be so dangerous. You see how the devil can, he could lead people to believe they're there, and rather than pressing on to perfection, rather than taking up their cross and denying, what happens is they become fascinated with the supernatural, okay? And they begin to chase the gifts, and they begin to chase the supernatural. So If this is something that happened to you as you have humbled your heart before the Lord, you've finished the John 7:17 challenge. Praise God, sister. May the Lord continue to bless you. Thank you for finishing the words of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to continue to go through it. If you have this humble, childlike heart, it very well may be, sister, that you have received the authentic gift of tongues. Okay? Just ask Abba. He will let you know. Listen, I have received a very strange, bizarre phenomenon in my life 8 years ago. God started to use numbers very providentially to guide me in a way that was astonishing even to unbelievers. I could tell the future. I could be with somebody and see 666 three times in one day, and I would say, watch this. Any minute, any hour now, I will receive an email. There'll be something in the mail or a text that's going to be horrible. And my friends and family who didn't even believe, they would see this over and over again, and they had to say, wow, this is unbelievable. This is not a coincidence. It happens every single time. There have been, I don't know, probably 150 to 175 numbers that God has used to guide me to scriptures, to guide my life over the last 8 years. It's incredible. Every single thing that I am doing, including the writing of the book, everything that I have and everything that I do in Christ, all the fruit is a result of me following this very bizarre act of God's providence in my life. I had never heard of it before. Nobody taught it to me. I hadn't read about this anywhere. This was something very unique and bizarre, and I had to choose, without anybody else's witness, whether or not I was going to believe this was from God or not. And I chose to believe because I sought Father, and I said, Lord, please don't let me be deceived. I begged him, God, please don't let me be deceived. If there's anything in this that's from the devil leading me astray, God, in Jesus' name, I let myself be at his mercy, such that I would be able to point back at God, just as Job speaks, that he would defend himself. And God, I too wanted to be able to say, Father, if I am guilty and if I shall be condemned, please rewind the tape where I begged you and pleaded with you to teach me the truth and open my eyes to see what I could not see in my own ignorance. And sister, I have done this hundreds of times. I've pleaded with Father, okay, to please keep me from being deceived. Now, is there any other evidence that I haven't been deceived, that this isn't some counterfeit game of the devil? Yes, you shall know a tree by its fruit, and wisdom is proved right by her children or her actions. When I look at what Abba has done in my heart first, the fruits of internal righteousness, how much he has dramatically changed me to become more like Jesus Christ, I can know that these things that are in my life are not coming from the devil. They are coming from the Son of God, the Spirit of Christ, to change me. You shall know a tree by its fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. It doesn't mean that every once in a while a good tree can't produce a bad piece of fruit. Okay? We're all capable of doing that. But the tree should be characterized by an increase of less bad fruit and more good fruit. Then you're knowing that the Spirit of Christ is at work in your life. So just plead with him to show you, okay? And don't despise it if it's a gift from him. I'm so thankful that you're wise enough to ask, because there is so much counterfeit, and the Bible does say we need to be very careful, okay? So I would really just encourage you to continue to press on and to obey. If you're busy taking up your cross, sister, listen, if you're willing to deny yourself and take up your cross, embrace your sufferings for Jesus Christ, and losing your life to find it for him, then you can rest assured you will not be deceived. God will not allow the elect who have a love for the truth to be deceived ultimately in the end. He may let you be deceived or take a punch in the chin for ignorance every once in a while to keep you humble, weak, and dependent upon him. But God will strengthen you, and God will preserve you, and God will keep you. Amen. In Jesus' name, all the way to the end. Sister, I have to go. I pray God blesses you. And if indeed this is an authentic gift from God, hallelujah. And if it is not an authentic gift from God, Hallelujah. It has a reason and a purpose. God has been pleased to allow this thing, whatever it is, to happen in your life. And I promise you, God will work it all together for your good and His glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister, I just wanted to add one other thing for your consideration that I thought in the beginning and forgot to tell you. And that is, if it is an authentic gift, you can be sure that the devil will try to attack it. He attacks all things from God. He'll attack you with, you don't really know God. Jesus isn't real. God is not pleased with you. The Bible's not really true. This gift isn't really in play in your life. So again, devil can work both ways. His whole goal is to get you out of the will of God. So yes, don't think just because you have fiery, flaming arrows of doubt coming into your heart saying, this isn't really the gift of God, that in fact it might be. It might be the real gift of God. Okay? In fact, the more devil fights you against it, that to me would imply that it very well may be the authentic gift. He has a tendency to attack the very things. I mean, also keep in mind that it could just be your own curiosity. Never forget this point. Thank you, Jesus. You have an imagination that's corrupt in and of itself, that cannot obey God, denies God, and lives in constant unbelief against God. It doesn't need the devil's help. It's called your flesh, your Adamic nature. So it's funny, I just made a recording about this morning, actually. After all these years of seeing these numbers, I still have a part of me that can always just say, this is just coincidence. That part of me has never died. That's the part of me that's Adam. Okay? He is reckoned dead because there's a more powerful man living in the house, Jesus Christ. But he is not actually dead, as in lights out, there is no movement. He's still there, and my human brain never lost its capacity to think, you are delusional for believing all this. But instead, I fight the good fight of faith, and I choose to walk by faith, not by sight. I choose to trust in the Lord with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to not lean on my own understanding. In all of my ways, acknowledging Him, and He has made my path straight. Okay, so keep that in mind. Devil can fight with flaming arrows, but so will your imagination. Is this really happening? Is this really of me, or is this of God? Okay, and now, don't forget, ask Father, He will confirm it, and when He does, believe it. God bless you. Bye-bye.